Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara is discussing that which we find in the Mishnah with regards to what is the minimum amount of matnot dam that have to end up on the karnot when it comes to a chatat. Beit Hillel believes that you only need a single matana for the chatat to get onto the karen, and then it would be kshera. On the other hand, Beit Shammai requires a minimum of two matnot on the karnot in order for it to be kshera. And the question is, what is the source for their position? So Amar Rav Huna, my time with the Beit Shammai. What is the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's position? It says, karnot, karnot, karnot. The word karen appears three times with regards to the chatat. As Rashi points out here, we're speaking about the chatat hachitzona. If you go to the parshiyah that deals with all the chataot in Vayikra Perak Dalit, we have the Parakwein Mashiach, Parhelam Davashat Zibor, which are chataot nimiyot. So that's not what we're interested in. Then after that, you have the chatat anasi. And then Chatat HaYachid, both of those are Chatot HaChitzonot. With regards to the Chatat HaNasi, it says, V'natan al-Karnot, Mizbach HaOla. And then with regards to Chatat HaYachid, since there are two parshiot there, one for the Si'ira and one for the Kivsa, by the Si'ira it says, V'natan al-Karnot, Mizbach HaOla. And by the Kivsa it also says, V'natan al-Karnot, Mizbach HaOla. So you have the word Karnot that appears three times, Harikan Sheish. That would give you a sum total of six. That's because the word karnot is a plurality, and the minimum of a plural is two. So if I add up three karnot times two for each of them, you end up with six times that the word appears. Harikan shesh. Arba'a the mitzvah tells you that four of them are lechatchila, shtayim le'akev. And then the additional repetition of two more tells you that the first four are mitzvot lechatchila, two more on top of those four are mitzvot le'akev. So those two make two out of those four le'akev because you have repetition of the word karnot. Beit Hillel, karnot, karnot, karnot. Beit Hillel sees the words as they are written. The words are written twice chaser, one time male. Harikan arba. Then you have four because you have karnot, karnot written without a plurality in it. That's one karen, one karen. Then you have the word karnot, plurality that gives you two, that is four. Shlosh the mitzvah, three of those are lechatchila, achat le'akev, and then one of them is me'akev. Mar says, ve'makulo the mitzvah. Why don't we say that all of them are lechatchila? Why do you have to say only three of them are lechatchila, and then say that one is me'akev? If you would say that all four lechatchila, that would mean possibly that you wouldn't need any of these matnot in order to be yotze. My answer is kapara bichdi lo ashkechan. You don't find kapara that comes without any matan dam on the mizbeach. Now the Balei Tosfot point out, you could have said the same thing to Beit Shammai, and then they would end up with a situation in which they'd have three that should be me'akev, because they don't need the first limud to teach you that there is a mitzvah to put blood on the mizbeach. And then you would have an additional six beyond the first one, which is three to tell you that the additional three beyond the first one is lechatchila. And then an additional three times to tell you that three out of those four would be me'akev. The Balei Tosfot would say that Beit Shammai must not subscribe to this concept of kapara bichti lo ashkechan. Now it is somewhat problematic because we already just saw in the Gemara, v'dam zivachecha yishafech. When it comes to other korbanot, there is a minimum requirement of at least one matan dam. If that's the case, why would you think that it should be different by a korban chatat? Why is the Gemara even have a havamina to suggest here that there was no necessity for any matan dam according to Beit Hillel? And clearly according to Beit Shammai, it doesn't seem like there's any minimum requirement, and we're using all the words to be doresh, that it requires a matan dam on each of the karnot of the chatchila. So there are those that want to suggest that you could bifurcate the din between a korban being kasher and the basar being mutar be'achila versus attaining kapara. So when it comes to dam zvachecha yishafech, which says there's a minimum requirement of a single matan dam, that's for the possibility of it both being mechaper as well as the basar being mutar to be eaten. Over here, we're not looking necessarily to say that the korban is kasher to the point where you could consume the basar. But all we're saying here is that we want kapara to take place. On the other hand, the Sfat Emet, who tries to overcome that problem and say that there maybe is a distinction between other korbanot and a chatat, and even here the chatat would be kasher, still there is a fundamental problem. How do you have kapara without the dam? Ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. It's clear that you need some sort of matan dam that would provide the kapara in this situation. So he makes the suggestion that the Gemara's question is not that they would do no matnot dam, just that you would have to do no matnot dam on the karnot. Rather, you just have to do a single matnot dam somewhere else on the Mizbeach, and if you did that, b'diavad, you would be Yotze. So that's the nature of the Gemara's question, not the suggestion possibly you would have no matnot dam. The possibility is that you would need no matnot dam with regards to the karnot, but you would still need at least some dam that ended up on the Mizbeach. And then the answer of the Gemara would be that, since the Torah requires karnot over here, that single matnot dam can't be placed anywhere on the Mizbeach, the requirement that it at least end up on one of the karnot in order to provide kapara. So you thought originally maybe kapara could be provided by any matan dam on the mizbeach. Gemara says you can't get matan dam that gives you a free pass to get kapara unless you do something that's associated with the karnot, which are demanded over here with regards to the korban chatat. So the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is whether we read it as im lemikra, which means that we follow the way that the words are pronounced. And in this situation, all of them are pronounced as karnot, which is the plural. And so therefore you would sum up to six in total. Whereas Beit Hillel believes that we have im lemisoret, which means that we look at the words the way that they are written in the text, not the way that they are pronounced. Two of the karnot are written chaser. One of them is written malay. Given that, you have four times that the word karen appears, and that leads to their drashot. The major problem with this is, and it comes up here, as well as in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that these words in our Sefer Torah are all found to be chaser. We don't have a single karnot that is written malay, at least with regards to the chatot achitzonot. And that presents a problem because here we have a drasha of the Gemara that seems to indicate that one of those words, karnot, is found to be malay. So the achronim in dealing with this with regards to Psak Halacha say that we don't have to change our Sefer Torah to comply with this. Elaim Kain, there's no other alternative drasha that the Gemara gives. In this instance, it happens to be that the Gemara will give an alternative for the explanation of their machloket. And given that, then you don't have to change the Sefer Torah or worry about the fact that there was a Mesorah that was at odds with what we have in our Sifrei Torah. The Gemara says, V'bayitema, hainu tamid Beit Hillel. Another way to explain the position of Beit Hillel is, ahani mikra, v'hani misoret. That what they do is take a meshing, an average between the mikra and the misoret. Ahani mikra litfu yechada, v'hani misoret litfu yechada. Explaining the words based on the way that they are pronounced would give you one more. And explaining it the way that it is written would give you one less. In essence, if you go by the Mikra, you end up with six. If you go by the Misoret, you end up with four. If you take the average between the two of them, then you end up with five. And there is the explanation that you have four that are the mitzvah, and then one that is me'akev. Gemara starts now to challenge that and say, anytime you have a situation in which you have im lemisoret, you also bring in im lemikra and take an average between the two of them, elemeato. If that's the case, letotafot, letotafot, the Totafot. The word Totafot appears in three out of the four parshiot that are found in the Tefillin. Are in Kan Arba. From that we learn out that there are four parshiot and four boxes that are needed in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So here you have Totafot that's written twice Chaser, and one time is written Malay. So that gives you, based on the Misoret, four times that the word, quote-unquote, Totafot is demanding of you. Four Batim, four parshiot. So then why don't we say the same thing? Ahani Kra, Vahani Misoret. Let us say that you read the way you read it, and the way that it is written should also have impact here. And then, Chamesha Batei by the Meibad. And then you should have to make five Batim over here. Because the Totafot, 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 they're all pronounced in a way that is a plurality. If that's the case, you would end up with two for each of them, or six in total. For the Misoret, if you look at it, two of them are Chaser, one is Malay, that would give you four. Two of them are singular, one plural, it gives you four. The average of four and six would be five. Why don't we have five batim with regards to the tefillin shel rosh and with regards to the number of parshiot? Where it says, Savala ki Rabbi Akiva, the old Rabbi Akiva, the amar tat bekatfe shtayim, pat bafrike shtayim, that the word totafot is actually a combination of two foreign words, each of which mean two. And if you add them up together, totafot, you end up with four. That way is how they learn that you get four batim. They don't use the em lemikra or em lemisoret to reach that conclusion. Once again here, you could suggest that the opportunity for learning it from somewhere else also protects us from having to change our Sifrei Torah to comply with what seems to be the Mesorah of the Gemara as to how these words are written, which do not appear that way in our Sifrei Torah. Once again here, you have the same problem that you had before, which is if you look in our Parshiot, the word Totafot is written Chaser in all of these instances. So the Balei Tosfot and Sanhedrin, they also noted over here, indicate that there were two other possibilities for the explanation. One was that it wasn't referencing to the vav at the end of the word between the pay and the tav, but rather to the vav that's between the two tets. The problem with that explanation is that twice we have it that the vav appears between the two tets. And then you have the Rabbeinu Tam who suggests that in one of the instances it says ule totafot. And in that instance we take the vav that's in front and move it to the end between the pay and the tav, and that gives you the plurality. But all of these Rishonim are trying to deal with the fact that whatever the Gemara is pointing out to us over here, we don't have in our Sifrei Torah. And that is that the word Totafot appears chaser and all of our Sifrei Torah. Now, the truth is that this question that we're asking on Beit Hillel should be just the same question that we would ask on Beit Shammai, who learn Eim LeMikra. If you learn Eim LeMikra over here, then you would have a requirement of six batim. So, some of the Achronim suggest that the questions here are being posed to Beit Hillel, because Halacha is like Beit Hillel, but Ein Ochanami could have asked the same question on Beit Shammai. The other solution, possibly, is the Tosafot that's found in this parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is that nobody would think that you would darshan six batim from this, because we only have four parshiot of tefillin. We only have four parshiot of tefillin. What are you going to do with six batim? And that might have to be the answer to what the Balei Tosafot asked over here. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that Kad Bekafte Shtayim, Pad Ba'afriki Shtayim, and the word Tosafot appears three times, it should be 3 times 4 and end up with 12. So the same answer that the Balei Tosafot gave in Sanhedrin, you could bring over here to answer their question over here as well, which is that there are only 4 parshiot. So going beyond 4 doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's why we're trying to challenge Beit Hillel over here, who if they do darshan this based on the Mesoret, then they should also entertain at least the Mikra. But for the one who says Eim LeMikra, clearly we're not going to be darshaning Eim LeMikra over here. And that's the way the Balei Tosafot answer on behalf of Beit Shammai. Although the Balei Tosafot in Sanhedrin also note that it doesn't mean just because you darshan Eim LeMikra in one place, that means that you consistently darshan Eim LeMikra, and vice versa. If you darshan Eim LeMisoret in some places, doesn't mean you consistently darshan that way. Your drashot might change from location to location, depending on what is compelling you to make that decision or compelling you to say that it should be Eim LeMisoret or Eim LeMikra in any of these instances. Elamiato. If that's the case, what are you going to do with the psukim of Bisukot, Bisukot, Bisukot? The word Bisukot appears three times. Twice it is written chaser, one time it's written male. Ahani mikra, vahani mesoret. Let's use the same thesis that you're placing into Beit Hillel of the mikra and the mesoret. The way that you read it would require that Sukot, Sukot, Sukot would require six walls, whereas if you read it the way that it's written, that would require four walls. And then for that reason, chamisha dafnato by the meivot. That means that you should have to have five walls for the sukkah, which would be the average between the Eim LeMikra and the Eim LeMisoret. It says, Hatam chad kra kulei legufei, one of the psukim you need for the goof, to tell you the din that you need a wall for the sukkah. V'chad eschachacha, a second one you need to know that is schach. Atay hilchata v'garatad l'shlishit. And then the halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai comes along and tells you that the third wall doesn't need to be a full wall. V'kim ta'atefach, unless it be a tefach long. So any hokanami, you could learn that there are five walls over here. Two times you'll use the word sukkah to teach you, one, the fundamental din that you need a wall. Number two is you'll take a sukkah to teach you that you need schach. And then you'll have the last three that are left over to teach you that there's a requirement of three walls. The third wall, then, the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai says, doesn't need to be a full wall. It can be a smaller wall. So in Hokanami, you could darshan in that case, and it's not problematic. Once again, here, you could ask on Beit Shammai, why don't you say Eim LeMikra, and then you would require six walls with regards to the sukkah. If that's the case, and you use one for the wall, the gufei, one for the schach, then you would have four walls that are required, and the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai would reduce the size of the fourth wall. So why don't we say that in Beit Shammai, or ask Beit Shammai about that? The truth is that there is an opinion in the Gemara in sukkah that does require four walls, and the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai does reduce it down. And therefore, Beit Shammai might actually subscribe to that position of Rabbi Shimon that the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin with regards to how many walls are needed in a sukkah. Or that you can learn that one of the sukkot is needed for the walls themselves, but that takes out two walls, not one, because each one is written in plural. Therefore, you eliminate one of the words sukkot, and now you're left with four walls. One of them you need for schach, and the remaining three you need to teach you that there are three walls, with the third wall being reduced by the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Therefore, even if you say Eim LeMikra, you could solve this problem according to Beit Shammai. The Balei Tosafot asks over here, don't we have certain dinim that only apply to the schach and not to the walls of the sukkah? Because we believe the word sukkah, or the primary part of the sukkah, is the schach. How come all of a sudden over here we're telling you that the word sukkah means walls and doesn't mean schach? So though the Balei Tosafot themselves leave it as an unresolved issue, the Griz, in the name of the Grach, brings that he thinks that the word sukkah definitely focuses on schach and the mitzvah of schach. That means all the psulim that are associated with sukkah are particular to the schach and not to the walls of the sukkah. On the other hand, when you're speaking about keeping the mitzvah or doing the mitzvah of sukkah, you do need to have a structure upon which the schach sits, or you need to have walls that create the mitzvah. So anytime it speaks to something that's fundamentally about the mitzvah of sukkah, then that psul or that problem will apply not only to the schach, but also to the walls. On the other hand, when you're speaking about a psul that is directed towards the sukkah or the schach itself, that will only have application on the schach and not application to the walls. So therefore, you have to look at whether we're speaking of the mitzvah as a whole, where it includes both the walls and the schach, or speaking about this schach, or the word sukkah in particular, where it's focused on the schach. So those psulim that are focused on sukkah or schach, they will only apply to the schach. Certain psulim that apply to the mitzvah as a unit, they will apply both to the schach and the walls. And for that reason, we'll use the word sukkah sometimes to mean walls, sometimes to mean schach, but it depends on the context or the nature of the drasha. The Gemara then continues and says, Elamiato, if that's the case, that you want to learn again from Eim LeMikra and the Misora and take the average between them, then why don't you do that with regards to the situation of a woman who gives birth in the beginning of Parshat Tazria, when she has a nikeva. Over there, the psukim say, Vim nikeva teleid v'tama shuvu ayim genidata, v'shishim yom v'shish jamim t'sheva d'me tahara. Now the word v'tama shuvayim is spelled in a way that if you didn't have the nikudot, or you didn't have the in the mikra, the mesoret, you would have just read it as shivim. So that means that is she t'meya for shvuayim, that's the in the mikra, the way where you read it, which would be 2 weeks or 14 days. Or do you read it like the Mesoret, which is it's written in a way that you could pronounce it as Shivim, which would be 70. If you do that, then you take the average between 70 and 14, and you'd end up with 42. So say, Ahani Kra, Ahani Mesoret, Arbaim Vitrain by the Meitav, then she would be Tmeah for 42 days. Mar says, Shani Hotam, over there, you can't do that Tichtiv, because the Pasuk gives you a modifier to the Shvuayim, where it says, Kin Nidata, the way that she is when she is a Nida. Anida, we know, come in blocks of 7 days. And for that reason, either you have to say that we're not dealing with days, only weeks. That's the way Rashi explains it. The way that the Bali at Tosafot explained it is that it's saying, V'tama Shvuayim, telling you to add on another Nida. Another Nida means another 7 days. That means that you can only explain it to mean 14 days. And that would be even without the Eim LeMisoret, the Eim LeMikra, just the way you pronounce it would be derived or driven by Kenidata to tell you that we're dealing with derivatives of seven, and not single days. And for that reason, it's 2 weeks, and you don't have this overlap between Eim LeMikra and Eim LeMisoret. So now, until now, we have a source to explain the machloki between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where Beit Shammai says that the word karnot is Eim LeMikra, therefore you have it 6 times, 4 LeMitzvah, 2 to tell you Liakev. Beit Hillel says that you have the word karnot, Eim LeMisoret, one of them is written male, 2 of them are written chaser, that gives you 4. So either you say that means that it's 3 the mitzvah, 1 the akev, and because kavara bichdi, you don't need to say all 4 the mitzvah, or you say that it's an overlap between Ein LeMikra and the Misoret, and you get to 5, and then you have 4 for the mitzvah, 1 the akev. That's the source, according to Rav Huna, for Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel's position in our Mishnah. On the other hand, Tana Maiti Lamahacha, we have a braita that brings it from a different source, and that is Vichiper, Vichiper, Vichiper. They have the word v'chiper that appears once again by all the chata'ot achitzonot in Vayikra Dalet. That's by the Sa'ira Nasi and the Sira of the Chatat Yachid and the Kivsa of the Chatat Yachid. The word v'chiper appears in all of those locations. And from that you learn, Mipnei Hadin Shiachol. You could have learned this out from a Kal V'chomer Elimut. Halo Dinu. Nemru Damim Lamata V'Nemru Damim Lamalo. There are requirements that certain matnot dam be put below. That's all the korbanot behema that are not chataot. And nemim damim lamalo, which is a chatat. Ma matan damim amrim lamata shenetanan bimatana achat kiper. And as we learned before from dam zivachecha yishafech, that if you do a single matana, lamata michuta sikra, that's sufficient, even though there might be a requirement for more. Av damim amrim lamalo shenetanan bimatana achat kiper. So to the damim that are above the chuta sikra, which is the chatat, then a single matan dam should suffice. As Rashi notes over here, why don't we just learn that out straight from the pasuk of dam zvachecha yishafech? He knows miu chatat mihai kra lo yolif lo shaychi bei lashon shvicha kim zvika. Because the way that you put the blood from the chatat on the mizbeach is not through shvicha, but rather through zvika or matan dam with the etzba, and so therefore it can't be covered by the dam zvachecha yishafech. It'd only be learned through a binyan av if we associate that with the other korbanot. Maybe it should also be true paradigmatically for the chatat. Oh, plach the derech zo. How do you know that that's the way to learn it? Maybe you should learn it this way. Nemer damim bifnim, nemer damim bachutz. When it comes to the chataot, you have chataot apnimiot and chataot hachitzonot. Here we're learning about a chatat hachitzona. Maybe we should learn that from a chatat apnima. Ma damim hamurim bifnim, chiser achat min hamatanot, lo asa velo klom. We're going to learn later on in the mesechta that when it comes to the chataot apnimiot, if you miss a single matan dam, then that is me'akev, meaning that the korban is pasul. If that's the case, maybe you should extrapolate that and learn the chatot achitzanot from the chatot apnimiyot. Just like the pnimiyot, every matan dam is required. So too by the chatot avdamim arim b'chutz, kiser achat min matanot, v'asav l'kum. But it's said that when it comes to chatat achitzona, the same din should apply. Nir l'mid domet. Let's figure out which one it has more in common with or it should be compared to. Dan in chutz mi'chutz, and dan in chutz mi'bifnim. Makes more sense to learn from an ola or any of the other korbanot that go below the chutz sikra. Because those are all korbanot that go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Chatat that goes on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, you would learn from other korbanot that go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Or maybe you should look at it this way. Danim Chatat V'Arba Karnot, Echatat V'Arba Karnot. Just like there's a requirement in the Chatot of Pnimiyot to put them on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaZahav, so too, when it comes to the Chatat of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, there's a requirement of four corners. And so here you have both of them called chatot. They both have a requirement to matnot dam on the four corners. Maybe that's the commonality between them, and it makes more sense to learn from the chatot apnimiyot than it does to learn from other korbanot achitzonot. And you won't learn from other korbanot that don't have a requirement for a karnot or matan dam on the karnot, and also are not called chatot. Tamal omar, v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. So that's why it says the word v'chiper three times to come to teach you. V'chiper, afo pish natan ela shalosh. It comes to teach you that the kapara is provided, even though he didn't put all four on, but rather three. V'chiper, afo pish natan ela shtayim. The next chiper comes to teach you that is kapara, even though he put two matnot dam. V'chiper. And then the third time it says v'chiper, that comes to teach you, afo pish natan ela achat. It seems to teach you that even if you only put one matan dam, then that is sufficient in order for you to be yotze, and this will be the source for Beit Hillel's position as to why matana achat would suffice when it comes to the chatat achitzona. And Bali Tosafot point out, even though the word l'chaper, the Gemara in the next parak is going to say, that means that you get it for kapara, but not to be matir the basar v'achila, nevertheless, over here, the word v'chiper is different than l'chaper. And v'chiper would provide not only kapara, but also would provide a heter for the basar to be eaten and the emurim to go on the mizbeach. So the v'chiper over here, the limud is teaching us that these are sufficient to make the korban completely kosher, as opposed to the terminology l'chaper, which is used in the subsequent parak, and means simply that kapara is accomplished, but nothing else about the korban is made kosher. And then the Gemara asks, v'hami b'ilei l'gufei, how can you use the word v'chiper to tell you that you don't need these matnot dam when you need it to tell you that you are awarded kapara for bringing this korban? So now the next line of the Gemara is unclear as to how to read it. You could actually read it in two or three different ways. Either it could be Amar Rava. Rava is making a statement that Bar Ado Mori Asabroli. Bar Ado, my master said to me. So he's calling Bar Ado his master, his teacher. So that's one way to read it. Or you could read it as Amar Rava Bar Ado. Ravada Bar Abba saying Mori, my teacher taught me this or explained this to me. Or you could read it Amar Rava Bar Ado Mori, that the son of Ado Mori, who is the Amora, he explained me the following. So those are three different ways to possibly read this. Sabrali, Amakra, v'chiper, v'nislach. In each of those pizukim where it says v'chiper by each of the chatot achitzonot, it says by the nasi, v'chiper lavakoy mechatato, v'nislach lo. Also by the sira, it says v'chiper lavakoy v'nislach lo. And by the kibsa, it says v'chiper lavakoy mechatato asher chata v'nislach lo. So the word slicha appears by all of them. Zohi kapara, zohi slicha. Kapara and slicha are synonymous. Given that, you don't need the word kapara to teach you he's attained kapara over here, because you already have the word slicha. That means that the word kapara is extraneous, and you can darshan from that to reduce the number of matnot dam that are needed in this case. What's interesting about that is that there really is a difference between kapara and slicha. As we already noted, we learned from the kaparot hazahav, the way that Rashi translated that, that means kapara means to wipe away, or to erase. And that is that kapara really is a mechanism for ridding oneself of the punishment that would come about from this avera. On the other hand, v'nislach slicha means that a forgiveness that is granted to the individual for the avera that's done. And the two don't necessarily have to be synonymous. It could be that you're protected from the punishment even though you're not forgiven, or you could be forgiven even though the punishment will still take place. But if you're around, depending on how you read the Gemara before, Rava or Bar Ado or Rava Bar Ado explains that the two are synonymous over here and therefore it's extraneous. So Ema, why don't you learn it this way? V'chiper, Ava Bish Lonatana L'Shalosh Tamala V'chat Tamalo. V'chiper comes to teach you that even if you put three up above and one below, you attain kapara. V'chiper, Ava Bish Lonatana L'Shtaim L'Mato U'Shtaim L'Malo. Even if you do two above, two below, you would still get kapara. V'chiper, The Pera comes to teach you that even if you put none of them above, all four of them below, then you attain kapara. So you would learn from this that the necessity for karnot are not because you have to put them on the karnot, but there's a requirement by a chatat for four matnot dam. The question of where you put them is not me'akev. So you can either put them lamalo, or you can put them lamato, and you'll be yotze. But in that way, you cannot come to the conclusion that one matana will be sufficient. You need four matanot. Just a question of where you put those matanot. Chatchila, they should be four on top of the karnot. Each chiper comes to teach you that b'diavad, even if some of those matanot are found below, that you are yotze, or you will gain kapara in that instance. So Amar Rav Adar Yitzchak, im kein, bitalta torat arba karnot. If you explain it that way, then how is there any requirement for four karnot when it comes to a chatat? Over here, you're saying that even if you put all four of them below, that there is no problem at all. If that's the case, then what is the necessity or the requirement that the Torah says the words karnot in this instance? My answer is, irachman amar, lipatlon. What's the question over here? If the Torah says that you can't be mevatel them, then you can't be mevatel them. Gzeirat HaKatuv, you're right. Enochanami lechatchila, you're supposed to put them on the arba karnot. We have Gzeirat HaKatuv that brings you to the words chiper, that bidyavad. If you didn't get on the four karnot, you even put all four of them down below, then you'd be fine and you would accomplish the kapara that is associated with the chatat. Amarova, is it davar shetzarich shalosh? Aviomer, elu karnot. Rava answers in the end that what is an item that requires three mi'utim? That are the karnot mizbeach. Meaning that if you really want to tell us that all four of the matnot can go below and you still attain kapara, you would actually need the word v'chiper to appear four times and not three times in order to get you that limud. On the other hand, to get the limud that we have, which is you have three times the word v'chiper, each one of those v'chiper can eliminate one of the necessities for a karen, and then the fourth karen is required. That when you have the word v'chiper three times, it makes sense. As opposed to, for you, the way that you're learning, you would actually need the word v'chiper four times to teach you each one of those matnot karen that's supposed to go above can be placed below. So the Gemara then says, Ema v'chiper, afo pishnotan el achat tamala v'shalosh tamata. Why don't we say then that the solution to the problem is enochanami? You have the word v'chiper three times, and now we're going to learn. The first v'chiper teaches you that if you have three matnot dam above, one below, it's still kasher. Then you have the second v'chiper teaches you if you have two matnot dam above, two below, it's still kasher. And the third v'chiper will teach you that if you have one matan dam above and three below, it's still kasher. And you're right, we won't reach the conclusion that if all four of them are below, are still kasher, but at least you can get to a position in which three below and one above would be kasher. And that would be the explanation of a chiper, and you wouldn't get to the conclusion that you came to, which is that one matan dam would suffice in this situation. My answer is, b'matzinu damim shechetzian damala v'chetzian damato. We don't find dam where half of it is put above the chuta sikra, and half of it is put below the chuta sikra. That's just not something we find. The Gemara will challenge that in a second. But based on that, you can't give that as the explanation for the kapara that is provided in this instance. Now, we explained the Gemara according to Rashi, but the Balei HaTosfot asks, how come in the first case, when they gave the limud of v'chiper, 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 the Gemara didn't follow the order that you would have assumed? The Gemara said, if you put three above, one below, kasher. If you put two above, two below, kasher. Then it skips the stage where it says three below and one above, and goes straight to four below and one above. How come the Gemara skipped that? And in essence, maybe that's exactly what the Gemara is asking afterwards. Why did you skip it? You need to deal with that issue. And if you need to deal with that issue, why did you skip to go to number four instead of going down in a sequential order of putting one below, two below, and then three below? Why did you say one below, two below, and then four below? What happened to that interim stage? The Balei HaTosfot explained there was no necessity for you to have a miut in that case to say that it doesn't work. That is because in these situations where you have the matanot dam lamato, they have to be lamato in a way that would work lamato. The Balei HaTosfot say that if you're going to put damim lamalo, and then put a matan dam lamato, in that instance, that damim lamato has to conform to the normal way that matanot dam lamato are placed on the mizbeach. And so therefore, he says, when you get to the case of one matan dam lamalo and three lamato, you don't need a pasuk to tell you that that's not going to work. And that is because the three matanot lamato don't conform to anything. You have shtaim shein arba, which is one you put on the side, and then you have a matana achat. Either you have two shtaim shein arba, which is normally what happens down below, or you have one shtaim shein arba. But to have one shtaim shein arba and then one matana achat, then we never find, that combination is never found below. Now the truth is that why don't you say the same thing for the first case, where you have three matnot above and one matana lamato, why don't you in that case say also you don't need a miut, because we never find a matana achat lamato. It's shtaim shein arba, it should have to be a minimum of two. So the Balei HaTosfot would say, eino chanami, but you have the majority of the three above, and so that's enough to override in that situation to tell you that it would work. The Shita Mekubetzah does bring down the possibility that it references to other korbanot, like the Pesach, the Bechor, and the Maser, where a single matana does work below. Maybe that's enough to say to you in that case that it is conforming to some sort of matnot dam lamato. So now that's how they explain the Havamina, as to why it is that the Gemara skips one of the stages and goes directly from one below, two below, to four below, and skips over the stage of three below, because they say clearly three below is going to be pasul, because it doesn't conform to any matnot dam below. And then, using that, they say that Rava comes back to them and says, well, if that's the case, why do you need three psukim as a miut? You only need two psukim. Opposed to Rashi, who says, when Rav, there are only three psukim, you need four psukim. Rav is saying the other way around. He's saying that you need two psukim then, not three psukim. And that is because you're telling me everything has to conform to matnot dam lamato. That means that you can only have two scenarios where it would be okay. That's in a scenario where all four matnot dam are lamato, because that's shtayim shen arba, and we have something like that. Or in the case where it's two lamala, two lamata, because then it's like putting one matnot dam on one of the sides of the mizbeach, that's shtayim. So that one matnot dam will be shtayim, and you have shtayim lamala, shtayim lamata. So given that, you only need two psukim of a chiper. You don't need the other ones to be excluded, because the other ones would automatically be discarded. The three below, as we noted before, which is inconsistent. And now the Baal HaTosfot is saying, even though the rova are the mala, the rova is saying that when you have one lamata, it doesn't conform, and that's not going to work, even though you have the three lamala. And that's the nature of Rava's question. And so that means then you would only be Makshir, or you'd only be Makshir the case where you have either two above, two below, and a case where you have none above and four below. So the Gemara comes back and says, wait a minute, maybe it's coming to say that even when you have one above and three below, it is Kasher, despite the fact that it doesn't conform to anything that's done Lamato. Because better to make it Kasher in a case where it's one above and three below, versus making it Kasher in a case where there's all four below. It's somewhat counterintuitive that all four below would be kasher, but one above and three below would not be kasher. And based on that, now we would use all three of the psukim to teach you the first three cases. A case where it's three above, one below, two above, two below, or a case where it's one above, three below. Even though, again, we dictated before, maybe you don't need psukim for that because you have to conform to the domain lamato. The Baal HaTosfot are saying now is the Gemara saying drop that logic completely. And the psukim are telling you that even though that is the case, we still will say it's kasher here. Because better to say that these three cases are kasher than to say the case where all four below are kasher. But still, then it remains a question, why don't we learn it in that manner, rather than the way that the Bright learns it, and then you wouldn't have a source for Beit Hillel's position. My answer is, Lomatsinu damim shchatzian lamala, chatzian lamato. We don't find dam where half of it is put above the chuta sikra, and half of it is put below the chuta sikra. Baal HaTosfot do also ask, or add on, why doesn't the Gemara say here that the word chiper comes to take away some of the requirements that are needed for matnot dam on the keren, and say, oh, you don't need it to be on the chod, you don't need it to be on the top of the keren, or the edge of the keren. You don't need it to be done with a matan etzba. And there are other things associated with the karnot that you could exclude with the word v'chiper, that would then be a diminishment in the chatchila aspect of it, but still require that it be matnot keren. But he leaves it as a tzarachim, and that's why the Gemara doesn't take up these other possibilities. Then the Gemara says, Vahat below. Is it really true that we don't have situations in which part of the blood is above and part of the below and it still provides kapara? But don't we have Atznan? We have the Mishnah in Yoma that says, Hizami menu achat lamala v'sheva lamato. When it comes to the matnot dam that are associated with the kaporet or in front of the parochet, those matnot dam have a requirement that you do achat lamala and sheva lamato. One above and seven below. And now you're thinking that one above means one higher up and seven below means seven lower down. And based on that, you do have matnot dam that are mala lamato. My answer is that's not true. It says there, kimatzlif. They have to do it like matzlif. And the Gemara about that says, my kimatzlif. What does matzlif mean? So, machave Rav Yehuda indicated or showed, kimanganda, like someone who's giving malkot in this situation. We went through all the different possibilities there in the Gemara and Yoma, but that basically it means that one of the matnot dam is done with an upward motion of the hand, and then the other seven are doing with a downward motion of the hand. But that does not mean that they have to particularly be done higher or lower. They all go in a row. They're put together in a row like the way that makot are given. It's just a difference in the way that you put the matan dam, whether you do it in an upward motion or a downward motion. But that doesn't change the fact that all the matan dam are found in a single location or in a single line, and there's no above and below. The Tosfot is somewhat perplexed by the Gemara's question because the Mishnah itself says the word kematzlif in it. So what was the havamin of the individual over here? The answer is that maybe the havamin was that the explanation of the word matzlif would not be kigman gadna, that it would not be like someone who's giving malkol, but some other explanation that would allow us to maintain this. And that's what the chiddush is, that the matzlif is like someone who's giving malkol. Gemara says, well, what about the fact that it says afterwards, v'hiza altaro shel mizbeach sheva pe'amim? They should do seven hazaot on the tohar ha-mizbeach. And now we're thinking, my love, al palgei de mizbeach. We're thinking now that the word toar shel mizbeach means halfway up the mizbeach. We're going to explain the word toar like people say toar tiara dioma. Toar means the middle of the day. And so toar is going to mean the middle of the mizbeach, halfway up the mizbeach. And Rashi claims over here that if you're going to put seven matnot dam halfway up the mizbeach, then you're not going to get them all exactly right, and some of them are going to be above, and some of them are going to be below, and for that reason, you're going to have some above, some below, and it's still mechaper. Now then, the Baalei Tosfot do not like that explanation, and on the Amud Aleph, they suggest that you have the matnot of the karnot of the Mizbech Zahav, and now you have a requirement to put them on Tohar Mizbech, halfway down the Mizbech, or on the lower part of the Mizbech. So you have matnot dam that are done on the roof of the Mizbech by the karnot, and then you have the matnot dam that are done on the side of the Mizbech, so that's the malo, and the mato. Either way, now you have an example of a case where you have the malo and the mato. Samarava Barshila lo. It's not the meaning of tohar over here, but rather agiluye dichtiv. It's saying that the word tohar doesn't mean halfway, but rather means when it's all exposed or open. Dichtiv uke etzem hashamayim la tohar. Then when it's speaking about matan Torah in Shmot Perech Abdal and Parshat Mishpatim, it says when they looked up, they saw maselev nata sapir uke etzem hashamayim la tohar, and a sky that was completely blue and clear. So the tohar over there means to be clear. And so it's over here. Al-tohar ha-mizbeach means on the cleared upper part of the mizbeach. So you move away all the coals that were there for putting on the ketoret. So you make it so you can see the gold or the tohar, the purer part of the top of the mizbeach. And the matnot dam are all done on the top of the mizbeach over here. And so now everything is done lamala, and you have no proof that it's lamala and lamato. It says vaika shirayim. What about the fact that the shirayim from korbanot, like the chatat, are put on the yisod hamizbeach? So you have the matnot dam that are done on the top of the mizbeach, and now you have the shirayim that are put down on the yisod hamizbeach. Why isn't that the malo and the mato that accomplishes the kapara? Where it says about that, shirayim lo ma'akve. The shirayim are not ma'akev the kapara. It's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev the kapara. It's not ma'akev the kapara. You can't use that to prove that you can have matnot dam that are the mala and the mata and provide kapara. Va'ika shirayim hapnimim de'ika demandamar ma'akvei. So wait a minute. What about the fact that you have to take shirayim from that which is done bifnim and put them on the mizbeach ha'chitzon? So not only do you have now matnot on the mizbeach ha'zahav, matnot by the kaporet and the parochet, now you have matnot dam that are on the lower part of the mizbeach ha'chitzon. Then we have an opinion that says that when it comes to the shirayim, the leftover blood from the matnot dam that are done bifnim, that they also require matnot shirayim on mizbech yitzon le'akev. They are part of the kapara. If you don't do it, you will not attain kapara. So now we have an example of the malo lamato, and yet it still provides kapara. Where it says, b'chad makom kamrina. We're not saying that there's never two locations for the dam to be placed. We're just saying that on a single area, that means on the mizbech hazahav or on the mizbech yitzon, or any other location, there's never a requirement, or there's never a situation in which you have some of the dam the mala and some of the dam the mato. Over here too, that can't be the explanation of the braita, and it leaves us only with the explanation of the braita, which is v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. Each one of those takes away one of the karnot as being required, and leaves you with the final karen as being the required matan dam, and that'll be the source for Beit Hillel. And now the Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. So similar to what we saw in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai believes that when it comes to Chatat, there's a minimum requirement of two matnot dam for a Chatat, and there's one matan dam that is required for any one of the other Zvachim in terms of there being Karbanot Ksherim. In addition, for the same reason, Pigul will only apply to those matnot dam. Because as we said before, the Pigul is only applicable to things that provide Kapara, or things that are part of the process of the Korban that are necessary. So just like it's only necessary to put one matan dam on for any other Korban, so too there can only be a machshevet pigol during the zrikat dam, during the zrika of that dam that makes the Korban kasher. And with the chatat, it would apply to the two matnot dam that are done by the chatat. And for Beit Hillel, omrim achat shebechatat v'achat shebechol zvachim, materet umefagelet. So for them, in other Korbanot, as well as by the chatat, since you only need a single matan dam, that single matan dam will be matir, will give you the kapara, both associated with the kapara and the heter to eat the basar, but it also means that you can only have a machshevet pigol with regards to one of the matnot, the first of the matnot that you put on the mizbeach. Because that's the thing that is matir, that is the thing that provides the kapara. That's also the only place that you can have a machshevet pigol that will be impactful. So Gemara says, matkiflar rabu shayim kein litnei gabe kuli beit shamai v'chumrei beit hilal. Why is this not enumerated in the list of Mishnayot and Ediot, which give us cases or circumstances in which Beit Hillel is the Chumrah and Beit Shammai is the Kula? Because over here, you see that it turns out that Beit Shammai is the Kula when it comes to Pigul. Because by Pigul, they require you to have a Machshavat Pigul by the first two Matanot. Otherwise, it's not Pigul. Whereas Beit Hillel only requires a Machshavat Pigul by the first Matan Dam. This all presupposes what Rashi claims over here, is that Beit Shammai believes that you cannot be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. Since you can't be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir, Beit Shammai requires that you do it by both of the Matnot in order for it to be Pigul. And therefore, Beit Shammai requires that you have a Machshev Pigul not only by one of the two Matnot over here, but by both of the Matnot, by the Chatat, in order to disqualify it or invalidate it and make it into Pigul. Beit Hillel only requires it by one. That means Beit Hillel is the Chumrah because he allows you to get to Pigul in a much easier fashion than Beit Shammai. The Baal HaTosfot asks, how does Rashi know that that's the case? How does Rashi know that Beit Shammai believes that Ein Mefaglim B'chatzi Matir? Maybe you could be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. Beit Hillel believes you can only have the Machshev Pigul on the first Matandam. And Beit Shammai thinks that you can have Machshev Pigul on the first Matandam or on the second Matandam. And then he just believes you can be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. And so therefore he has a choice. And it could still turn out that Beit Shammai is the Kula when you have a Machshev Pasul in the second Matandam. According to Beit Hillel, if you already had a Machshevet Pigul on the first Matandam, and then a Machshevet Pasul, the second Matandam, it doesn't help you anymore. It's making it to something that's Pasul and not Pigul, because the only time a Machshevet matters was the first Matandam. For Beit Shammai, when you have a Machshevet Pigul on the first Matandam, and then a Machshevet Chutz Limkamo on the second Matandam, that would make it Pasul instead of Pigul. And so it turned out that Beit Shammai is the Kula over here by allowing you to have a Machshevet by the second Matandam. And so why is Rashi so certain that Beit Shammai believes Ein Mefaglim B'chatzi Matir as to where he makes it pasul? Not that he has to have the Machshava by both of them. And so he questions Rashi's assumption here that Beit Shammai doesn't allow for a pigul by a chatzi matir. So Tosfot answers in the first place to say that the fact that Beit Hillel says a matana rishona is mefagelet seems to imply that Beit Shammai says it's not sufficient to be mefagel through the matana rishona and you need both matnot. That's how Rashi gets to that conclusion. Or he says that maybe it's a parallel, the same way that you need both matanot to be matir the basar, so do you need both matanot to be mefagel the basar? And that way he uses the language, either Beit Hillel contrasting with Beit Shammai, or the language with regards to Beit Shammai, to teach you that what Rashi says is correct, that Beit Shammai believes that you can't be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. But then he runs into a problem by where Rabbeinu Yisrael found a Tosefta that seems to indicate that Beit Shammai only thinks that you can't make something Pigul, where you had a Machshev Pigul in the first Zrikat Adam, and then you spilled the blood before the second Zrikat Adam. And implying in that if had he not spilled the blood, having a Machshev Pigul in the first Matan Adam would have been sufficient. And that would go against Rashi. It seemed to imply that what Beit Shammai is saying over here is that you can be Mefagel with either one of these Rikotam, not necessarily that you have to have both of them, and not that he believes that you can't be Mefagel B'chatzi Matir. So Tosfot answers either that the Nishpach Adam and that Braita is not coming to teach you the diok that we made, but rather to teach you that in Beit Hillel's position, im Nishpach Adam, that it doesn't make a difference and there is Pigul anyway. Or maybe that's essentially what the Gemara is asking over here. Don't we find that Beit Shammai is the Kula? So why don't we bring this in the list that's found in Masechet Ediyot? The Gemara answers, Am le'rova k'itshil, l'hatera itshil, t'avalu Beit Shammai l'chumra. When the question was posed in the Beit Midrash, it wasn't posed about the issue of Pigul. That was a derivative of the question. The question was, what's the minimum amount of matnot dam that you need in order for it to be kasher? Beit Hillel says one, Beit Shammai says two. That means Beit Hillel is the Kula, Beit Shammai is the Chumra. Turns out that that din also then leads to a kula on Beit Shammai's part, which is that maybe by pigul, there'll be a kula with regards to Beit Shammai. And Ochanami, maybe you could come up with the case of kula by Beit Shammai. That still doesn't change the fact that the primary question revolves around how many matnot do you need to be kasher. And in that case, Beit Hillel is the kula. And so the derivative of that, where Beit Shammai is the kula, we're not going to bring that as a case or a situation in which Beit Shammai is mekil. Right now the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shalosh matanot shebechatot. In the position of Beit Hillel, who says that only one of the matnot dam is makev and it makes the korban kasher provides kapara, is matir the basar. With regards to the remaining three matnot shbechatot, enum ba'od balayla. You're not allowed to bring them at night. Ba'od achar mita, but you are allowed to bring them after the death of an individual. Va'amale behem achutz, chayav. And someone who puts them on his be'ach outside is chayav. And now, as Rav Pop is about to explain, what we're saying here is that these residual three matnot dam sometimes have a din like matnot dam, like the first one. Sometimes they have a din of matnot dam that is distinct from the first one because they're not me'akev. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting over here. These remaining three matnot dam that are not put on the mizbeach la'akev, but rather just as the mitzvah in order to do it properly, if it was right before nightfall and he put one of the matnot dam on the mizbeach and then the sun set, he is precluded from putting on the remaining three matnot dam. The reason Rashi says is because the sun set. Once the sun is set, the dam becomes pasul. And once the dam is pasul, you can't put on the mizbeach l'chatchila. And therefore you're precluded from putting these additional three matnot dam on the mizbeach. So in one sense, they still are dam that has to work like dam and work like zvikata dam. And for that reason, once nightfall comes, you can't put them on the mizbeach. And there is a machloket in the Achronim as to whether the shirayim of the dam can go on the mizbeach at night or it needs to be put on during the day before the sun sets. And that will depend on what you think the status of the shirayim are vis-a-vis these three matnot dam. Do they have a different status or are they very similar in nature? On the other hand, they're not full matnot dam. And that leads us to the second thing. We know that if kapara is not attained by the chatat before the balim pass away, then it's chatat shemitu balea, which is the mitah. Over here, you got the one matan dam on, so that provides the kapara. The remaining three aren't necessary for the kapara, and they can be put on even after the death of the individual. So they have a status of zrika, but not full-fledged zrika, where it will be pasul after the balim have passed away. And that is because, in order for it to be a problem for chatat shemitu baleha, it needs to be a shem chatat or a shem chatat gemura on the matnot dam, but not a shem zrika. The shem zrika is what made it that you needed it to be done during the day and not at night. But in order for it to be disqualified from chatat shemetu baleha, it still needs a shem chatat or shem chatat gemura on it, which these three matnot don't have because the first matan dam already accomplished the necessary requirements of the chatat. And then the final din that he has, which is a malek mehen b'chutz chayav, that if you put them outside, you do zrikat the dam outside the mikdash, for something that's ra'ui to be in the mikdash, you are chayav. Because in Ochanami, if you put on these additional three zrikot, they are accepted on the mizbeach ha'pnim. They may not provide the ikar kapara, but they're still part of the avudat pnim. If you do them outside, they're considered to be real zrikot, and a person will be chayav for zrikat dam b'chutz. Amra papa, yesh mehen b'tchit chilato, yesh mehen kisufo. And Rav Papa notes that this is true about many of the halachot that are associated with these three zrikot that come after the primary zrika of the chatat, that some of them have the same din as the first zrika, and some of them have the same din as the end, meaning that they are not like a zrikat adam. And now he goes through each of them. Chutz, with regards to male utan b'chutz, you are chayav. And whether you can be makriv them velaylo at nighttime. Zarut, whether a zar is chayav mita for interacting with them. Ukli sharet, the necessity for a kli sharet. Keren, the fact that they require to be put on the keren. Ve'etzba, and they require an etzba. Kibus, that they require that they be laundered. Vishirayim, and the fact that the residual has to be put on the yisod mizbeach. Ketchilatan, they all have the same din as the first matan dam. So that means, similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said over here, that when it comes to a male utan b'chutz, you are chayav. The latter three have the same din as the first one. They're considered to be real zrika. And in that effect, you also have a chiyuv for doing them outside the mikdash instead of inside. Laila, as Rashi said already, the shkia is posel the dam. Just like it would be posel for the first one, it's posel for the latter three. Zarut, just like a zar is chayav mita for putting the first matan dam, is also chayav putting the remaining matnot dam. Just like the first matan dam requires a kli sharet, so too the remaining three require a kli sharet. Same is true of a keren and etzba, that the matnot dam have to be put on the keren, have to be done with an etzba. Kibos is the fact that the Torah says, if dam from a chatat splashes on the big day kuna, they're required to be laundered. So too over here, with the remaining three matnot dam, they still have a status of a zrika of a chatat, to the point where if it splashes on the beged of the kohen, you have to launder it, you have to clean it. The shirayim, and the fact that they make something into shirayim. So for instance, as Rashi says over here, if you mekabel the dam in four separate kosot, and you do a matan dam from each one of the kosot, then whatever's left in those kosot is considered to be shirayim. And so each one of these matan dam creates a shirayim for the kos that it is placed in. And therefore, these all have the same din as ketchilatan. On the other hand, regards to mita, which we mentioned before, the mita of the balim of the korban, you can still put the three matnot dam even after the death of an individual. Lo shario, they do not have any impact on the basar and emurim being mutarim, because already the first matan dam did that, and with or without the latter three, they have no impact on that. Velo mefagla, as we saw already in the Mishnah, the Beit Hillel believes that there's no pigol beyond the first matan dam. Velo ailo legavai, and if you take them into the hechal, they're not posel the korban. We have a pasuk that tells us that kol dam that's nichnas penima is posel the korban chatat. That's only when it comes lechaper, when it comes to do a kapara. The kapara was already attained with the first matan dam. The remaining matnot dam don't have that status, and given that, they're also not posel the korban. So all of those, kisofan, have a din like they are differentiated from the first one, and they're not me'akev, and they don't have any impact over here. There are ksherim in all of these instances. Amar Papa, mina amin Allah, I can prove to you that that's the case, that there are different dinim with regards to this. Now, the truth is, he only brings a proof with regards to kibbutz, with regards to laundering of the bigadim. The Karen Ara claims that's because all the other dinim are pretty straightforward. Kibbutz is the only one where it seems to be at odds. And that's because once the kapara is already attained, maybe it should be that the dam chata that splashes should no longer have any relevance with regards to the bigadim. And that's why he brings a proof to this point. Others see it simply as an example to show you that there is this mixed din with regards to these latter three matnot dam. As it says, titnan, nitaz min atzafar la beged, the blood came out of the animal directly and splashed onto the beged, enu taun kibus. You don't need it to launder it, it's not subject to that din of the Torah. Mina keren o mina yisod, if it splashes off the keren or the yisod, again, when the mitzvah is already completed, ein taun kibus. It does not require laundering. Ha mina ro oy la keren taun kibus. What you can make a diak out of this is the fact that when is it not require kibus? That's when it went onto the keren. That's when it went onto the yisod. That's when it was in the tzahar of the hema. But anything that is ra'oi the keren makes it sound like over here that it would require kibus, even though you've already completed the first matan dam. That means that the latter three matan dam would still have the din of kibus. Where it says, you want to make that diuk, litameich, min yisod, enu taun kibus. It says over here, if it splashes off once the dam of the shirayim is placed on the yisod, you don't need kibus. Hamin ra'oi the yisod taun kibus. That seems to imply that if it was ra'oi to go to the yisod, the shirayim that had been placed there, then that does require kibus. And where it says, how could that be? Asher yaseh k'tiv. It says from the blood that you're going to sprinkle or you're going to place on the mizbeach. Prat lezesh kfar huzah. The dam of the shirayim already had the dam huzah ala mizbeach. You don't need to do any more hazaot adam. That's the case. It shouldn't be that you have to have kibus bigadim once the dam is finished with its matnot on the keren. And now you have shirayim that are going out to the yisod. So based on your diuk, it says that, well, once it hits the yisod, there's no more kibus. But prior to that, there is kibus. How are you going to deal with that problem? Over here, there's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, how to read the continuation of the Gemara. The way Rashi reads it is that this is a continuation of the question. The Gemara is still building towards the finality of its question, and they say, Hamani, the only way you're going to be able to answer that is to say it's Rabbi Nechemiah. To say that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of that braita, who believes that Nan, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Sherei Adam, Shikrivan Bachutz Chayav, that if you have Sherei Adam is placed outside of the Mikdash, and you were makrib them on a mizbech, outside of the Mikdash, you are chayav for hakravat dam, or zvikat adam chutz le Mikdash, even though they are shayarim, they are the leftovers. So you see, for him, they're still a part and parcel of this. And that means that this whole braita that you're bringing is a dat yochid of Rabbi Nechemiah, because he's the only one who seems to indicate that shirayim are chayav when you put them out b'chutz, and they're also chayav when it comes to kibbutz bigadim. And so now it's authored by Rabbi Nechemiah, that's a dat yachid. How can you bring a proof from a dat yachid? But Papa answers, Imir Dishmaidle, the Rabbi Nechemiah linen hala'a. We know that Rabbi Nechemiah says that if you're makriv, the Sharia Adam, or you do Zrikat Adam with the Sharia Adam outside of the Mikdash, your chayav for akravar, Zrikat Adam b'chutz, midehava ivarim uptarim, which is similar to ivarim uptarim, which are not ma'akev the kapara. Yet if you place them on a mizbech and you're male utam b'chutz, you are going to be chayav. In kibbutz, Mishmaidle, who says that he thinks the same is true when it comes to the kibbutz bigadim. So you can't prove to me that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author here, because Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion is about chutz. It has nothing to do with kibbutz bigadim. And maybe this braita is according to everyone, and it still is a proof to me. So that's the way that Rashi reads it, that the statement about Rabbi Nechemiah is part of the question. And then the answer to that is, how do you know that Rabbi Nechemiah's position carries over to kibbutz when he only spoke about maleh b'chutz? Baal Tosafot, on the other hand, see, Hamani, Rabbi Nechemiah, as an answer to the question on Rav Papa. And one of Tosafot's big proofs against Rashi is that this all was part of the question. The Gemara should have said, Ella, when it wants to transition, which means that the Gemara is now rejecting Rav Papa and saying, Ella, it must be that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of this position. It's not, and then it could have gone on. The absence of the word Ella makes it sound like this is an answer in support of Rav Papa rather than a deflection or a dismissal of his position. And so the Baalei HaTosafot to explain, question of Rav Papa is, you think that the Sherei Adam require a kibbutz, Hamani, Rabbi Nechemiah. And it is Rabbi Nechemiah who says that this type of Sherei Adam is subject to Male Bachutz, and you see that he thinks it also now is subject to kibbutz Begadim. So you see there's a correlation between Male Bachutz, and when you're Chayav of Male Bachutz, and kibbutz. And similar for me. Just like everybody agrees that for the latter three, matnot dam, if you put them bachutz, you're chayav, so too you should be required to do kibbutz on those three. The answer of saying that it is Nechemiah, saying is that there's a high correlation between male bachutz and kibbutz. And just like for Rav Nechemiah, that's true, it would also be true for the chachamim. And therefore, if everyone believes that the latter three are chayav from male bachutz, they should also be chayav in kibbutz. And that's a proof to my position. My answer is, Imar Tishmai, that Rav Nechemiah lina hala'a, mide hava evarim ubdarim. We have heard about Rav Nechemiah's position with regards to male bachutz. We don't know what his position is with regards to kibbutz. You made a leap of faith here, or you made a leap of faith in your extrapolation to say that the din that he applies by male bachutz would also apply by kibbutz. Who says that's true? Mide hava evarim ubdarim. Just like evarim ubdarim, you're chayav for male bachutz, but they have nothing to do with kibbutz begadim. In kibbutz, Mishmaile, who says that he has the same opinion with regards to kibbutz, and this breaks down that correlation between male bachutz and kibbutz, and therefore would not be a proof to Rav Papa any longer. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Lamed Chet Amud Bet.